This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You are listening to Rabbi Zidni with Mawlana Habib Bulbat.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Rabbi Zidni on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat. It is Quran Gateway Series and this is episode number 2. If you've been following, in the last episode we did the introduction to the series and we mentioned that why we need to bring the Quran into our life. We also discussed in which period the Quran was revealed and what were the circumstances surrounding the revelation of the Quran at that time. We spoke about the fact that the world was engulfed by darkness. We spoke about the fact that there was a lot of ignorance in the world. People were living in jahiliyyah. People would consume of haram. People would drink liquor, would bury their own daughters alive. People would fight one another for trivial matters. So this was the condition at that time of the Ummah when the Quran was coming down. And with the blessings of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reformed the entire galaxy of Sahaba, that in the end, the Quran left them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. They were the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We made mention last week that the Quran made the lowest of low people become the highest of high people, the noblest of all people in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. So this was through the barakah and the blessings of the Quran. And last week we also mentioned that when a person has Quran in his life, then his life will be reformed. The Quran has the ability to solve our problems even 1400 years later. We also looked at the popular names of the Quran. That was Al-Quran, which appears 61 times in the text itself. Al-Furqan, Al-Tanzil, Al-Dhikr, Al-Kitab. These are the five famous names that we discussed last week. Now today we move on to another discussion, and that is Wahi. And in English it's known as Revelation. Now the Quran came down through the medium of Wahi. And so it is important for us to understand the concept of Wahi. How does it work and how did it come down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So Wahi, in its literal meaning, it's referred to a swift form of communication. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this medium to communicate with his prophets. A swift form of communication is regarded as Wahi, and this is important for us to understand. Now, Wahi is also the strongest form and the highest form of education and knowledge. Allow me to explain. As humans, we acquire knowledge through three means and three mediums. The first medium is through our five senses. The second medium of acquiring knowledge is through our logic and reason. And the third medium of acquiring knowledge is Wahi. And Wahi is the strongest form of acquiring knowledge for a human being. And that's because Wahi is divine, number one. Number two, it is flawless. Number three, it's eternal. As opposed to the other form of knowledge. Acquired knowledge through our senses and through our logic continuously changes with the progress of time. Today as humans, we make a discovery and we claim a certain thing. And then we study a little further or we go into more research and into more in-depth. And then our study or our research changes again. And then we do a certain study and somebody else does another study and their study could be different to our study. So there's contradiction at times also. But when it comes to Wahi and when it comes to divine knowledge and divine revelation, it is flawless. It is divine. It is eternal. The knowledge of Allah does not change. If Allah has made a certain claim, then that claim remains till the day of Qiyamah. It does not change. Human research changes with time. I'll give you a simple example. When they discovered the ninth planet, when they discovered Pluto, Then they said, you know what, this is another planet. And then after a while, they changed their opinion and they said, you know what, Pluto is not a planet, but it's a dwarf planet. So this is human research. It changes with time. It changes with the era. Maybe 50 years to come or 100 years to come, the research will change as opposed to now. So human knowledge is limited, number one. Number two, human knowledge is capable of errors and it's capable of mistakes. And number three, human knowledge changes with time. So these are the differences between human knowledge and divine knowledge. And that is why divine knowledge is far more superior as opposed to any other form of knowledge. And we also have to understand that our senses are limited. Our logic and our reasoning is also limited. I'll give you a simple example. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to stand by a car. And with your eyes closed, are you able to gauge the color of this car? It's impossible. It's virtually impossible for you to gauge the color of this car with your eyes closed. Even if you use your logic, even if you use your reasoning, you still will not be able to derive at a conclusion, and you could not safely say that, listen, this car is blue, black, white, or red. So here you realize that your understanding, your reasoning is limited. For you to gauge the color of the car, you'll need to use your senses. You'll need to open your eyes. By opening your eyes, you're able to realize the color. And by feeling the body of the car, you'll realize the smoothness and the texture of the material of the car. And by driving the car, you're able to experience the drive of the car. So here you are using your different senses. But just looking at the car, you cannot tell with certainty who made this car. And here you're going to see it. You are going to apply your logic. So you see that your five senses are limited. You can see the car. You've driven the car. You felt the drive. You felt the texture of the body. You felt the interior of the body. But these five senses cannot tell you who manufactured the car, who made the car, who assembled the car, who made the parts. Here you're going to apply your logic. So where your senses fail you, that's where you apply your logic. And now your logic is going to tell you that there has to be somebody who built this car, who designed this car, who manufactured this car, who assembled this car, and who put this car together. Here you're applying logic, but you can't tell with certainty who it is. So here you understand that your knowledge is limited. Your five senses are limited. Your logic and your reasoning is also limited. And that's where wahi comes in. That's where divine guidance and divine revelation comes in. Where our logic ends, that's the starting point only for revelation. So can you believe how powerful wahi is and how powerful divine revelation is? And that is why we say divine revelation is not limited, it's unlimited, because it's the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately. And our logic, our reasoning cannot function beyond a certain limit. So we are limited in our understanding. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down wahi to this world. Allah has sent wahi to this world so that mankind can be guided. We understand that this is the world, but we don't know where it comes from. We don't know with certainty. Can anyone sitting here with certainty tell us what was the nature of the world before it was created? What were the circumstances surrounding the nature of this world when it was created? Number three, what is the objective of life? Where did we come from? Did we evolve from one species into another species? What is the objective of life? And where are we heading to? Our logic and our five senses fails us here. They cannot guide us. They cannot provide the answers here. And that's where Wahi comes in. And Wahi tells us, where did the world come from? What were the circumstances surrounding the creation of the world at that time? What's the creation of human being? What's the ingredients of our bodies? All this the Quran has covered. And the Quran has covered this because our five senses and the logic and our reasoning cannot provide these answers. Only Wahi and only the revelation of the Quran can provide these answers. So Allah has identified where we come from. Allah has told us what is the objective of life. And Allah tells us that where our outcome will be and where we will be when our eyes close. So we know we come from هو الذي خلقكم من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم من علقة ثم يخرجكم طفلة ثم لتبلغوا أشدكم ثم لتكونوا شيوخا. Allah created you from the ground, and then Allah made you into a drop of sperm, and Allah made you then a blood clot, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you a human being, taking you till your death. So Allah highlights for us the origin of life. Allah highlights for us the origin of humans, and Allah identifies for us the objective of life, and Allah tells us where we will be. And these answers come through Wahi and revelation through the Quran. These answers cannot be gauged by our five senses, and it cannot be gauged through our logic. So this morning I'm arguing the importance of Wahi in the world and the importance of divine knowledge in this world. When humans were left to their own intellect, listen to this, when humans were left to their own intellect, then look at the disaster. There were people who used to circumambulate the Kaaba. There used to be people who used to make tawaf of the Kaaba naked. And the logic that they would present is that, you know, we are full of sins. We are drowning in sins from head to toe. And so the only logical thing to do is to make tawaf of the Kaaba naked. And so men and women, young and old, would all circumambulate the Kaaba with their nakedness. And this was the logic that they applied. So here we understand that when humanity is left at the sheer mercy of their own intellect, it's bound to happen that they are going to be in destruction, because they're going to apply their own intellect. Now that you have a basic understanding of Wahi, let's go into more details. We've mentioned that Wahi is a swift transfer of information. That's the meaning of Wahi. And we also discussed the importance of Wahi. Now let's look at the different mediums through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And these forms are known as Wahi. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ رَسُولًا فَيُوحِيَ بِإِذْنِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ عَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. Allah says, I speak to my prophets through one of three ways. I speak to my prophets through one of three ways. Number one, illa wahyan, I directly inspire the heart of the Nabi. That's one form of wahi. Aw min wara'i hijab. The second form is, I speak to my Nabi, but behind a veil. That's also wahi. The first one is also wahi, where Allah inspires the heart of the Nabi. Allah puts the message in the heart of the Nabi directly. That's also wahi. The second form of wahi is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Nabi behind the veil. أو من وراء حجاب. And this is mentioned in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is communicating, but there's a veil between him and the Prophet. The third form of wahi, which is the most common one, أو يرسل رسولا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down an angel. And here we are referring to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was the official messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who would bring down the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophets. So the third form of communication, which is also wahi, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the medium of an angel, and that is Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So we have discussed three forms of wahi. Wahi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly inspires the Nabi's heart. Number two, Allah speaks to the Nabi but behind the veil. And number three, Allah speaks to the Nabi but through the medium of an angel, where Allah conveys the message to the angel and the angel comes down to the world and he communicates it to the prophet of the time. So these are the three forms of communication when it comes to wahi.
You are listening to Rabbi Zidni with Mawlana Habib Bulba.
It is Quran Gateway Series on Radio Islam International, and this is part two, and the discussion is all about wahi, revelation. And as we mentioned, that wahi is a swift form of transferring information from one end to the other end. Now I want to discuss the weight of wahi. Wahi was very heavy and it was very weighty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would describe wahi coming down as the reverberating sound like the gong of a bell. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has given this narration. When wahi would come down on the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his breath would seem to stop. His radiant face would turn pale. And the front teeth of the Prophet of Allah would shiver. And this was because of the intensity of wahi. And the Prophet of Allah would perspire profusely. Even in winter, when the Prophet of Allah would receive wahi, he would perspire profusely because of the intensity of wahi. And she says that the perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fall like pearls falling down from his body, subhanallah. And another account here is mentioned of Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that once the Prophet of Allah was relaxing and resting in the lap of Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is at that time the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to receive revelation. And it was so severe and so strong that Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought that his thighs were actually going to break because of the intensity of wahi. So here you see how powerful wahi is, how weighty wahi is, and here you understand the intensity of wahi. Then at times the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have it easier, where Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come in a form of a human being. And most of the time Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down in the form of Dihya Kalbi. Dihya Kalbi was a sahabi. Twice the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam saw Sayyidina Jibreel in his original form. Two times. One was when the Prophet of Allah requested himself. And the other one was when the Prophet of Allah went for Mi'raj. One more thing that I want to touch on before we end off today, and that is the doubts. You know, people can ask the question, what if somebody interrupted the wahi whilst it was coming down? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is coming down with wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What if somebody interrupted that wahi and the transmission? What if somebody changed the wahi altogether? That doubt remains. So to answer that doubt and to clarify that misconception, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ. When wahi is being sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then no interference can come before it or even after it. So when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down with wahi, to the point it's revealed to the Prophet of Allah, and even after it's revealed, no one can infiltrate that message, nobody can interpolate the message, and nobody can cast any doubts to that message. It is divinely protected from before it comes to the earth and even after it reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So wahi is very secured. Wahi is protected by Allah Himself. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun also indicates to this. Allah has taken the responsibility of seeing that the wahi does not change at all. There has been no interpolation to the Quran, its recitation, its meaning, and its tafsir. Everything has been preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The jinn would eavesdrop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give the malaika instructions, and then the malaika would then discuss among themselves. I'm talking about general instructions, and then they would discuss among themselves, Allah has asked me to do this, etc., etc. The jinn creation would go up to the doors and they would eavesdrop. They would try to figure out what's happening there. Allah speaks of this in the Quran, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنِ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. The jinn themselves attest to this fact that previously we were able to eavesdrop and we were able to find out what's happening in the world and what is to happen. But the minute revelation started to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, everything ceased. We are no longer able to pursue this matter any further. We cannot eavesdrop at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. When a jinn tries to eavesdrop, then Allah sends behind him a meteorite. Or if I may say it in simple terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends behind him a shooting star. That shooting star is destined to attack and to finish off that jinn which was trying to eavesdrop. So here you understand how secure wahi is. It brings us to the end of today's discussion. In a nutshell, wahi in simple terms means to swiftly transfer information from one end to the other end. And then we discussed the importance of wahi. Wahi is divine, it's eternal, it's flawless, as compared to our five senses and as compared to our logic and our reasoning. We also discussed this morning that wahi is the highest form of knowledge. We also discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to his prophets through one of three ways. Either he inspires the heart of the Nabi, either he speaks to him from behind the veil, or either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down an angel. And number three, we discussed the weight of wahi. When it used to come to the Prophet of Allah, it used to be so heavy that his breath would seem to stop. His body would shiver and the front teeth would also shake because of the intensity of wahi. We also discussed the secure nature of wahi, and that's where we ended off this morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Remember, all these programs are podcasted on the website. You can log on to www.radioislam.co.za, go under my name, and under my name you'll find a category called series. And there you'll find Quran Gateway series, and you'll find all the episodes there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.